We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Successful media and public affairs consultant, accomplished entrepreneur and national writer and contributor, attorney who served in the Missouri House of Representatives, worked in the White House and CNN, thought leader, entrepreneur, and host who takes the conversation to the next level.
Prepare to get rare access to fascinating guests.
You're connected. You have the it factor. You've joined
Grill Nation.
Everybody over there!
Get a hold of
it! Everybody in there!
Get into it!
Connect with Jason on Twitter at Jason Grill. Connect with the show on Twitter at Grill Nation Show and online at grillnationshow.com.
Welcome your host of Grill Nation, always dressed up and ready to go, even in a radio studio. Here's Jason Grill.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Grill Nation Show with Jason Grill. If you're listening on the radio, we're on 980 AM. If you're joining us on podcast, we are all over the place. If you're on web, grillnationshow.com, or if you're on our live stream here on my social media page at Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, we greatly appreciate you joining us today for another episode of the Grill Nation Show with Jason Grill. We've been having some great shows, some great collaborators, and today we have on Dr. Amy K. Patel. Her website is DrAmyKPatel.com. She's the medical director of the Breast Care Center at Liberty Hospital. Amy is a collaborator and contributor to the show that joins us four times a year, roughly. And we are going to talk about a lot of really cool, interesting topics today. So I wanted to welcome her back to the show. Amy, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm great. It's been a crazy fast month of May, it seems like, right?
It's flying by.
I guess we're entering summer here this weekend. It's been raining in Kansas City a lot, so I'm excited for some sun, hopefully. So what have you been up to? I definitely read the Breast Care Center at Liberty Hospital. That's a different name than I'm used to, isn't it?
Yes. So there have been a lot of things happening here, particularly at the Breast Center. So we're really excited to announce that we are opening a new breast center next month. We will be called the Breast Care Center at Liberty Hospital, so formerly known as Liberty Hospital Women's Imaging. We're really excited. We're going to have, you know, double the space so we can accommodate patients in need, not just patients with insurance, but patients who don't have insurance. We have a very robust Liberty Hospital Foundation Women's Health Fund to help those patients. So I'm just really excited. The ribbon cutting is next month. I'm really excited to announce we are going to be adding another breast imaging specialist to our team next year. So just a lot of really fantastic things happening in Kansas City for women in subspecialized breast care.
Yeah. Now, how long have you been the medical director for now?
Starting in July, it will be 3 years that I'm medical director at Liberty. So it's just really flown by and been really grateful with the growth we've seen and how we're able to serve patients. And I say men, but, you know, women, but we're also serving, you know, male patients. You know, regardless of gender, you know, I have an interest, you know, even in transgender imaging. So those patients, you know, just equitable breast care for all is sort of my mantra. And I'm just really, really excited and blessed that I'm in a position where we're able to serve all patients.
That's awesome. You definitely have been busy. I haven't had a chance to go through all of your social media today, but we're going to get into some of it on the show and how you utilize social media to get the word out, I guess you would say, and some of the pluses and minuses of that. But you've been very busy. I know you've been speaking at a lot of conferences, whether that's mostly via Zoom, I guess, this last year. But what else have you been doing? I know that you're a constant educator of these issues around the United States.
Yes. So, you know, most of my activities have been in the virtual space this past year, as you can imagine. So anywhere from lecturing, I took on, you know, I'm an assistant professor of radiology at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. And I actually, starting last fall, started teaching a class to the second year medical students called Fundamentals. And in this class, you know, we teach them essentially the fundamentals of medicine, how to talk to patients, how to engage in multidisciplinary team efforts, which means that, you know, a lot of times in hospital systems, there's a lot of collaboration happening behind the scenes between, for example, in my world, breast imaging or radiology, medical oncology, radiation oncology, surgery, social work, genetics. So how do we navigate those waters and just cultivating these medical students' skills? So that was a new experience for me. I really, really enjoyed it. And so, you know, just continuing my educational endeavors in addition to the growth. And then, you know, on a personal note, as you know, I'm getting married next month. So I've been pretty busy with wedding planning. So lots of activity in my world as of late.
So what surprised you about the wedding planning, Amy? I mean, I have to know now that you brought it up.
Well, I mean,
best lessons. So for those that are listening,
I had to postpone the wedding, as you know, because of COVID. And so I would say that just being very flexible and kind of going with the flow, not everything will go according to your way. Even if you don't have to postpone your wedding, things are arising. You know, now we are getting married next month in a reduced capacity situation, but things are arising that are not exactly how I envisioned it. You know, at the end of the day, you just have to sort of keep it in perspective. You know, I have a job where, you know, there are patients that go through very, very difficult situations in their lives. And then of COVID, I'm just blessed that my family is healthy. We didn't lose any loved ones, you know, knock on wood. So you just kind of put it into perspective. You roll with the punches. And at the end of the day, you know, my main goal is to be married to, you know, the love of my life. And so you just have to be flexible and, you know, just whatever, you know, go with the flow, come what may.
Right. That's a great attitude to have, and one that you have to have when you do what you do. And I'm very thankful to have kept the invitation once the cuts were made, because I have been cut in the last year from other weddings. So, you know.
Yeah, you made the cut for this one.
Well, I pulled an old trick out of my old wedding gift playbook and bought you all grill-related products. I don't know if those have arrived yet, but
they just did, and you have a thank you in the mail. Pretty amazing. Joe was just ecstatic with all the tools. He's like, Amy, this is a briefcase with all these amazing grill tools, and we got grilled, you know, and so we appreciate it.
I never can decide on those things, so I just, if there's anything related to grilling or to anything related to, you know, barbecue or steak on your registry, I just always go for that. And then I figure, like, at least I'll always remember what I got them, because, you know, it's kind of hard to forget, right? So there you go. That's why you got that. Yeah. Dr. Amy K. Patel is with us. Her website is dramykpatel.com. We are going to talk all about kind of what she likes to call radvocacy, but more advocacy efforts, and kind of why those are important in the healthcare profession and what she does with radiology right now. We're also going to talk about, you know, some different issues around social media and how she's kind of engaged with different audiences on social media. And is there opportunities for healthcare providers and workers to do that? And is there pluses or minuses to getting engaged on social media? Maybe what platforms are the best, which ones that she really enjoys working on. And then we're going to get into kind of what it's like to be a change maker, a female leader at a healthcare provider, and so much more. So I'm very excited about this show. I really appreciate Dr. Patel for always bringing the knowledge on this show and joining us and being prepared each time she joins us. So, Amy, I appreciate that. We'll be right back after the break with more of the Grill Nation show. Thanks for listening on 980 AM on live stream or on podcast today. Everybody, and welcome back to the Grill Nation show with Jason Grill. Thanks for joining us today on the radio. If you're listening there on podcast or on our website, we're also up on live stream. I really appreciate the engagement on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter on my personal accounts for all those listening and watching today. I'm joined by Dr. Amy K. Patel. Again, she is the medical director of the Breast Care Center at Liberty Hospital. Amy, what is the website for Liberty Hospital?
libertyhospital.org/women.
Love it. That's pretty easy to remember. I'll put that up on the screen for the people watching too. Okay, so, and your website again is Dr. Amy K. Patel, #AskAmyMD, correct?
Yeah, #AskAmyMD.
Okay, we'll talk about that later in the show. So first, real briefly, let's just talk about where we're at with COVID with regards to the breast care center. Are things full go now with the vaccinations out there? I know last time we talked, it was kind of starting to evolve.
Yes, I would say that, the volumes have really picked up. However, the damage unfortunately has been done, so to speak. So if you recall, last spring through early summer, we paused routine screening mammograms due to the pandemic. And, volumes haven't completely recovered all over the country. And there was a new study that was just recently released just within the last day or two, where a nonprofit health system analyzed their data on the West Coast in the Washington state area. And it demonstrated from 2019 to 20, a reduction in mammography volume by 48%. And most affected were women of color, particularly Black and Hispanic. So, as a breast imaging, breast cancer community, we're very dismayed by these statistics. And so we have a lot of work to do, not just getting women in the door for their routine screens and if they have a symptom, a lump or pain or something, but also, finding other ways to reach patients in the communities, both urban and rural.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to know that it has changed, and I know you've been working really hard. Another thing you work really hard on is advocacy. So you call it radvocacy. I know that's kind of a play on the radiology advocacy words, but talk to us about what that is and why it's important to you, and we'll go deeper into it here in a second.
Yes. So radvocacy is sort of a truncated version of radiology political advocacy. And the radiologist actually in the country that coined the term will be at my wedding, so you'll get to meet him. But essentially, radvocacy is this term that basically a lot of us use in the field of radiology who are very passionate about political advocacy and ensuring that our patients are receiving fair radiological care. So this movement has really taken the profession by storm, I'd say, in the last 3 to 4 years. I think we've had a lot of radiologists in the field that have been really passionate about this. But, we finally, coined a term for it. And I think because of that, we are seeing even greater momentum. And so we like to call ourselves radvocates. I think it's catchy. Media colleague that I like to work with is Lisa Gutierrez for the Kansas City Star. And, she likes the word radvocate. We talk about that. She called me her favorite radvocate the other day, which I found that, it just meant so much to me. I really respect her as a journalist, but,
it's good to hear for our listeners out there. There are good. People
are on that. You too. That's why I like being on your show. So, So it's just been really, really fantastic to sort of coin a term that goes with the passion that we have and the measures that we're taking to ensure that our patients are receiving fair radiological care, because unfortunately, it does vary quite significantly across the country. You know, there aren't necessarily federal mandated radiology legislation. A lot of it that is very state-based. So there are some of us who are also not just active at the federal level, but at the state level as well. And as you know, I'm pretty involved with radiology legislation endeavors at the state level.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So you kind of just mentioned the federal level. Most of the action happens at the state level. Was there anything going on this year? I know Missouri kind of had some political squabbles at the end of their legislative session, but so maybe not as many bills got passed this year. But what's going on in that note with state stuff? Anything to note?
Yeah, well, you know, as we have discussed before, I was very fortunate to team up on breast imaging legislation for high-risk patients with Senator Lauren Arthur last year. Mm-hmm. During the pandemic. The governor signed that law on August 28th, but it didn't really take effect or roll over for insurance companies until January of this year. So it's still very fresh. There's still some insurance carriers that are still acclimating themselves with what needs to be covered for these women who are high risk. But, you know, in the future, I think that there's a lot of potential for other, you know, fighting for coverage for women in other realms of breast imaging, such as what's called the diagnostic breast imaging evaluation. So, you know, right now in the state of Missouri, if you have insurance through the state of Missouri, you should be covered for annual screening mammography starting at age 40, both 3D and 2D mammo if you're average risk. And now if you're deemed high risk, annual mammo at 30, alternating with supplemental screening every 6 months in the form of breast MRI or ultrasound and MRI from the ages of 25 to 29 annually. So that should all be covered. But the diagnostic breast imaging evaluation oftentimes is not. And that's if the patient comes in for a routine screening mammogram, we see a finding, we need to call them back and work it up. A lot of times as women are paying out of pocket or have, you know, very high deductibles, have to meet that in order for the diagnostic evaluation to be covered. So a lot of times women do not come for their follow-up, which is also dismaying. That delays, you know, care and potentially delaying a cancer diagnosis. So we still have a lot of work to do in Missouri, but I'm optimistic that we'll be able to get it done in the years to come.
That's awesome to hear. Dr. Amy K. Patel is joining us. Her website is dramykpatel.com. And you work with a state senator who obviously is a very successful young state senator in Missouri, and she has a lot of, I mean, at least what people tell me, a lot of potential to run for other offices. So you've aligned yourself with someone good in the political world, I guess, Amy.
Oh, well, I think she's just, at the end of the day, a genuine human being. So that's, yep. I just love working with her.
Yeah, she also married a good guy too. So there you go, right? So, I have another question about advocacy. So, what is your best advice, you know, for healthcare providers in regards to getting involved in advocacy? How do you think they should get involved? Because I think this is a lot like entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurs don't really, they've never really gotten involved as much because they're always building businesses. They don't really know how to engage with policymakers. I think healthcare providers, you know, they have their associations, but, you know, maybe they don't engage as much personally as they do with their associations and whatnot. So talk to us about kind of what your best advice is for healthcare providers in regards to advocacy.
So, you know, the best advice I could give is, you know, any measure you take, great or small, I mean, is an important one. So you could do something as little as hosting what's called a site visit at your hospital where you work and inviting your elected officials who represent your district to come and see what you do. We host site visits at our breast center and hope to now with the new breast center, where and that's how I met Senator Arthur. You know, I invited her for a site visit to come check out our breast center, see what we do every day, day in and day out. And that's just a great way locally to develop these relationships and get actively involved. Other ways in which you can get involved is being involved in your state medical society. I'm active in the Missouri State Medical Association, the Missouri Radiological Society. And just from attending a meeting, you can meet so many people. The networking opportunities are limitless. And then from there, you can serve on committees and get involved. And then at the national level, you know, many medical society or medical professions have their own organized society. So I'm actively involved in the American College of Radiology, and I'm on the executive committee for our government relations branch. So again, getting actively involved in organized societies locally with your elected officials can make just a huge impact on your day-to-day and for the betterment of your patients' lives.
Yeah, and it's just finding the time to do that, and you obviously have proven it's a worthwhile endeavor, already getting involved and changing people's lives with that legislation in Missouri last year. And obviously continuing to remain engaged and building those relationships is important. And frankly, like you said at the top, having them come to the breast care center, that's just such a smart idea. One, because a lot of people in politics or in legislative elected officials don't understand all these issues, because there's thousands that they're getting hit with every day. So if you can make any impact with those relationships and educating them with concrete ideas that make sense, it's a win-win.
Well, you know, only at the federal level, only 6% of Congress has a healthcare background. And the majority, you know, that aren't in healthcare still think that radiologists, you know, throw up images on a viewing box, which, you know, we have converted to digital many years ago. And a lot of people don't even know a radiologist is a doctor, you know, with an MD or a DO. So it's important for us as a profession to get out there, not just be patient facing, but facing with our elected officials.
It's very interesting. Dr. Amy K. Patel is my guest today on the Grill Nation show. She's an awesome medical expert in our region. She was born and raised in Missouri, left town for a while, and went to a couple really places you might have heard of. What were they, Amy? Harvard, WashU, you were insane. I mean, you've been everywhere. So, but you're back in Missouri making a difference now, which we like. And her website is dramykpatel.com. Also, her hashtag is #AskAmyMD. We'll be right back on the Grill Nation show with more with Dr. Amy K. Patel. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Grill Nation show with Jason Grill. I appreciate you watching us, listening, or joining us today. If you're on the radio, podcast, on our YouTube page, or on our live stream right now, I greatly appreciate it. I greatly appreciate all the listeners and people that have been reaching out to be on the show. As always, you can connect with us. Just shoot an email to grillnationshow@gmail.com. Also, we also are on social media at Jason Grill and at Grill Nation Show. Also, you can find me on Instagram, LinkedIn, and on Facebook. Just search for Jason Grill. Today, we are joined again by Dr. Amy K. Patel. She is just a great medical expert and just a wonderful person to get engaged with if you have not yet, as far as just being a change maker in our community. Her website is dramykpatel.com. She is the medical director of the Breast Care Center at Liberty Hospital. Amy, I did mention being a change maker. You were became one. So tell us about that. What was that award about, and what does that mean to you to be a real change maker?
Yes. So to my complete surprise, the American College of Radiology established what is called the Change Maker Series, where they select a change maker, and essentially do, basically a mini magazine dedicated to them and what they're doing to be given that change maker designation. I was completely surprised and completely honored to be chosen as the inaugural change maker of the American College of Radiology. And they, you know, when they approached me about this, they said that, you know, we feel that you're transforming the face of value-based care, what you're doing in Missouri and, you know, in the Midwest is truly unique. And so I just felt so honored. You know, I'm pretty early in my career overall, and I'd never expected to happen like this quickly. But again, very humbled by this recognition and just shining a light of the work that we're doing to close the gap to breast care disparities. Again, I talked about in the earlier segment about equitable breast care for all. And what does that mean? And how do we act? You know, anybody who knows me I may talk the talk, but I'm going to walk the walk. I'm going to enact change. And we've just made such great strides in a short amount of time. And so again, just really, really grateful for that honor to be named the inaugural change maker.
That's awesome. I didn't know it was inaugural.
Wow. Yes.
Well, congratulations. I'm going to start using that term now. You know, everyone used to use the term thought leader when I got started in entrepreneurship. And now I feel like change maker is more of a powerful, powerful word. So I congratulate you on that.
Thank you.
You are a female leader, a very strong female leader, change maker. What advice would you share with other women in your profession, in the medical profession, about kind of thriving more in their careers and more importantly, how do they kind of make a difference in the healthcare profession?
Sure. You know, although we as women in medicine and healthcare have made such prolific strides, in the last century and beyond, we still have an uphill battle in so many ways in achieving, whether it's equity for pay, whether it's parental leave rights. I mean, the list goes on. But what I would tell women is that, you know, taking a leap of faith is important and taking risks. You know, with this job that I now have, this it was quite an undertaking to take this on at a very early age in my career. And I did have a lot of skeptics and people saying this might be too big of a role for you to take on earlier in your career. But, you know, I think that without, this saying, you know, no risk, no reward. And I've been really, really fortunate, which brings me to my second point. So being, you know, taking risks, taking that leap of faith. But my second point is, well, if you do it, make sure that you have a diverse cadre of mentors and sponsors who can help you along the way. I'm very fortunate to have so many mentors at all career levels, you know, male and female, helping to guide me, different practice types throughout the country, which has really, really helped me in times of turmoil, when I've had to make difficult decisions in my leadership position. So those, factors are really important if we are going to ascend as women leaders. And fortunately, we are seeing this movement of women being empowered and wanting to assume leadership roles, and not just in healthcare. We see it in so many sectors. I'm sure, you know, you see it in your sector, in the business sector. And so I'm just really excited to see this change. But for me personally, I think, you know, just taking that risk, making sure I have effective mentors and sponsors to help me has made all the difference.
Yeah, that's very, very well said. I mean, having mentors and advisors around you, we hear that a lot on this show, that really kind of elevates you to kind of do better things in your life and to kind of challenge yourself as well. And there's a lot of good podcasts out there. I was actually talking to a friend this weekend about one that is a bunch of 7-year-olds that are talking about things that they learned throughout their journey. And it's just like, you listen to people that have wisdom and experience, and it just kind of changes your mindset around kind of what's important and how to progress and what you're trying to do. So I commend you on being a strong female change maker, and very exciting to see what you will do as a mentor in the future for folks around you. One thing you've kind of been a change maker and leader on is engaging on social media, Amy. As far as people in your profession, definitely you're out there, you're putting yourself out there to answer questions and be available. Why do you see that as an opportunity for you and other healthcare providers?
I think social media and healthcare in particular has a very transformative power that for patients. And I think it can remove sort of that, what might be perceived as red tape accessibility to physicians, to healthcare experts. And particularly for me, you know, although, you know, I do, you know, serve an urban, suburban population, a large percentage of my population is also rural. And so if I can find ways to reach patients regardless of geographic location, zip code, regardless of color, and educate these patients to make the best informed decisions about their breast health, as well as empower them. For me, that's really important. That was the whole premise behind my website. That is the premise behind a lot of the social media platforms I use. Although I do at times use it for personal reasons, a lot of my content really is to engage our patients.
Mm-hmm. So you started a hashtag, AskAmyMD. Let's talk about social media as a whole, but what have been some of maybe the being on the online space more, some of the positives and negatives, and some maybe of the lessons you've learned with putting out all this information and engaging with these people on social media, that what have been some of the positives and then some of the negatives?
Well, I would say the positives definitely are, you know, educating patients with accurate information. I think that one of the pitfalls, unfortunately, of social media is that there's so much inaccurate information out there, whether it's for breast cancer, breast health, whether it's whether it's COVID. I mean, there's just so much inaccurate information out there. So if, you know, the more and more that we experts can get out there and to educate patients with the facts and equip them with the facts, that's definitely a huge pro in my book. I would say the cons are, you know, at times I will have patients who are very, or not just my not my personal patients, but maybe people that reach out to me via my website, or they might DM me on a social media platform, and they're very, you know, set in their ways about what their beliefs are with breast, whether it's they believe in something called thermography, which the FDA has come out saying that there is no scientific evidence that it works, you know, things like that. And in those situations, it can be frustrating. But I think, you know, we're in a position where we need to keep our calm and to stay the course and to try to educate these patients the best that we can. We are in a very, we're fortunate to be in the position to do so. So we need to try to do everything we can to fully educate patients in an accurate way.
Yeah, it's you got to grow women's imaging, grow the information, and get the correct information out to the public. And have you had any success stories, or maybe one that you can briefly share, of somebody that you have engaged with on social media who maybe left that conversation and you might have changed their life?
Yes. So I've had a patient who found me on my website. And so she came in for a second opinion. She had been evaluated at another facility, and they told her everything, you know, was fine. You know, what she was feeling was nothing. And unfortunately, when I did my analysis of her case, we did some repeat imaging, et cetera. I said, I don't necessarily think this is anything. And we ended up biopsying it, and unfortunately, it came back positive. However, we caught it early, and so that is really fantastic. We know that if we catch breast cancers that are less than a centimeter, that your survival probability is going to approach 95 to 100%. So, you know, touching, I see it in the form of actually saving lives every day, and women are just so, so appreciative. And if we can catch them early, we know that their survival probability is going to be greater. So that's not, you know, the only situation that I've encountered like that, but just being able to reach patients this way and get them in and be able to evaluate them, and if they need additional care, if it means saving their life, I mean, that's probably the most rewarding thing that could ever happen in my career.
Very much so. Dr. Amy K. Patel is with us. Website, dramykpatel.com. I am the host, Jason Grill, of the Grill Nation Show. You can connect with us online at GrillNationShow.com. We're right back after the break for our final segment of today's show. Thank you to Dr. Patel for joining us today. to the Grill Nation Show with Jason Grill. Thanks for joining us on the radio, via podcast, on our website, or on our live stream today. If you're watching, we'll also post this all to our social media, as well as our YouTube page, which if you haven't been to yet, it's just Jason Grill, Grill Nation Show on YouTube. Each and every week, you can go there and just search for Grill Nation Show with Jason Grill on YouTube. Dr. Amy Patel is our guest. She's awesome. She's had just such an enlightening show talking to us about advocacy, social media, about kind of being a change maker, female leadership. We've kind of covered a lot of different topics today, which is really cool. Her website is dramykpatel.com. Quicker questions here, Amy. So our best for last segment, what is the most impactful thing for people to really understand, if you had to pick one thing regarding breast cancer that you'd want to make sure you got across to the listeners and the watchers today?
I would say that early detection, early detection, early detection. Do not delay your routine screening. Again, we recommend annual screening mammography beginning at age 40. If you're average risk, as long as you're in good health. So if you're 85 and you're driving and you're vibrant, we want you to get an annual mammogram. I also would say make sure you know what your percent risk is, because if you are deemed high risk, which there's many factors involved with that, then you will qualify for earlier screening. So again, early detection is so important.
Early. I got that. I think that was very wise. You're on social media now. We talked about that a lot on this show. What is your favorite social media platform these days, Amy?
Man, I use a lot of platforms.
What are they again?
So I'm on Twitter at Amy K. Patel, as well as Instagram at Amy K. Patel. And I really like Twitter and I like Instagram. But, you know, lately I've been getting pretty involved. I'm really liking LinkedIn, even though it's been around for a while. I like the new features. I like, you know, particularly on LinkedIn, I'm having a great time engaging with community leaders and local leaders, which has been a lot of fun and different for me, because usually on Twitter I'm engaging with my medical colleagues across the country and the world, as well as maybe patient advocates. Facebook, I reach patients, but also I use it for some personal reasons as well, or personal use. So these are the platforms I use, but lately LinkedIn has been a lot of fun just because I've been getting more actively involved and just connecting with a lot of great local leaders.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've been, as far as the show goes, we get a lot of engagement on LinkedIn when the guests share it, and most of them are in the business community or in the professional space like yourself. So I think it is growing, and that's really interesting to hear you say that it's also, you're having an effect of getting your information out there on your LinkedIn page, which is cool. We will get into this on our next show with you in October, but how much pink do you really have in your closet? Because I think I saw a picture from your bachelorette party and you were wearing something pink too.
So. Yes. So today I'm not wearing pink, but I'm wearing a Mizzou yellow. I know that's
there you go. Thank you.
Big Mizzou fan. But I would say I have a lot of pink in my closet. I bought two more pink coats in the wintertime, because sometimes I get interviewed outside and I'm freezing, but I want to wear pink. So I would say at this point about a quarter of my closet's now pink. So there's a lot of pink going on, and I think it's just going to continue to grow.
Yeah, it will. It's like you almost have to wear pink sometimes, most of the time in your industry.
Yes.
What was one of the proudest moments on your journey so far in your professional career?
I think, you know, honestly, one of my proudest moments, I would say, you know, I would classify them as one as a trainee and then now, you know, practicing. As a trainee, I was very fortunate to be elected the first chief resident of an all-male program. I was the first female chief resident of an all-male program at the University of Kansas in Wichita. And that program has been around for many, many decades. So I was just really fortunate that my peers elected me for that leadership role. And then as far as in my career thus far, I would say, honestly, the impact we've made in Missouri so far, all the way up to Southern Iowa, and with our new breast care center opening, has just really been something I'm very, very proud of. It's been a labor of love being involved in all the decision making, from the color scheme to the equipment. I mean, it's just been a dream come true. So looking really forward to opening next month.
That's awesome. Dr. Amy K. Patel is our guest today. Dr. Patel, if you could have dinner with one person, I don't think I've ever asked you this question. Maybe I have. But if you could have dinner with one person, who would it be and why? And this is not somebody that, like, we're friends with or, you know, that is somebody in the Kansas City area that you know. This is kind of more of a general questions for those that maybe have heard of this person.
Do they have to be alive or?
They can be dead, I guess. We could throw a little wrinkle into the question.
Okay. I would say that I would love to have a dinner with Eleanor Roosevelt. So I remember when I was in sixth grade, I believe, we had to dress up as a famous historical figure and do a report on them. And I remember a lot of gals were choosing, you know, Jackie Kennedy, which she's so elegant. She was so elegant and beautiful and intelligent. But I really, you know, Eleanor Roosevelt to me just really embodied leadership, women's leadership. You know, she was such a trusted advisor to her husband. She blazed a trail during a time where very many women did not. So I think just to pick her brain and her trials, tribulations, triumphs of leadership would be very fascinating for me to learn from. So I, you know, she would be the one that I'd pick.
Good answer. Good answer. I like that one. That's a unique answer, and it makes a lot of sense. And if you go to your website, dramykpatel.com, Amy has a quote from Eleanor Roosevelt up there that you can read, which is very powerful as well. Now that I've been traveling more, and I'll tell you what, it's the airports are packed, places are packed, everywhere's packed, everybody's getting out. What is a place you're looking forward to traveling to in the near future, Amy, and why?
Well, I would say, first of all, my honeymoon, we're taking a honeymoon in August and we're going to Lake Tahoe. So nice. I'm very excited about that just because we've never been there and we're going to rent a boat and just go out on the lake. So, you know, nothing too lavish, but I'm really excited about being out there at Lake Tahoe.
Well, I have been there. Great girl I dated for a while. Her family had a house in Reno, Tahoe. And so I did go out there and I've been skiing out there and there in the summertime. And I'll tell you that that water is just going to blow your mind with how blue it is.
Yes, I'm very, very excited.
So, Amy, as we close the show today, I just want to know kind of what's next for you and what's next for the website. And also, again, tell us what you're doing again at the Breast Care Center up at Liberty Hospital.
Particularly at work. We're just continuing to expand the care that we are giving to patients. So like I said, with the new breast care center opening, we're going to be adding another breast imaging specialist. We have a new plastic surgeon focused on breast reconstruction cosmetics, Dr. Colton McNichols, who is coming from Johns Hopkins. He starts in August. So we're really expanding our comprehensive breast program at Liberty, which is really, really exciting. So I'm really looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to other ways to expand the way we reach patients in the future that I'm hopeful we will get done in the future. I can't say too much. I know I'm being very ominous right now and elusive, but you know, I'm just always trying to think of ways to reach more and more patients, for me is the goal, and to save more lives. I mean, that's really what it comes down to in my life.
Those are great goals to have. You're always progressing with whatever you're doing and making a difference, which is the kind of people we'd like to have on the show and learn from. So I want to thank Dr. Amy K. Patel. Again, her website is Dr. Amy K. Patel, DramyKPatel.com. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Grill Nation Show.
Thank you.
We'll see everyone next week. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.